Hello everyone and welcome to edition 174 of the NRF1 podcast, a new week, a new set of podcasts. This is your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners Grand Prix Racing Online, where you can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and in this here podcast we are going to discuss all the latest Formula One news. Coming up, is Jolyon about to be face-palmed? Are we getting lost in effing technicalities? And could we have stumbled upon genuine change to help improve safety in the sport we love? That's what we do here, isn't it, Steve, at the NRF1 podcast? We improve things.
Oh, of course.
Damn right. This is the first of our bite-sized podcasts, three of them this week, 3 in 3 days. Once we've knocked this into shape, we'll be back with our Azerbaijan Grand Prix preview and our Baku predictions podcasts. Joining me for tonight, I'm absolutely delighted to say, we have current Prediction League champion, Steve Rust.
Good evening.
And there with the round of applause, a self-confessed Lewis Hamilton fangirl, Melissa Rollins.
Hello.
Hello, Melissa. Thanks for joining us. Thank you very much, Steve, for coming in. We should say it's about 32 degrees. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Do you know? You look like a man who'd know what that is. And no, he's shaking his head. We don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's a lot.
Is it about 100?
I reckon we must be.
It's all electric.
It's sort of the point. It's the point at which the Daily Mail would start putting the numbers in big bold letters on its front page. But we won't get stuck into that. Anyway, it's very hot. So we've got glasses of water. There's no aircon in this building because we're in England, and you know, Norfolk, we don't really bother with aircon. Stupid. We're stupid people. But there we go. Steve, what have you been up to?
This and that, trying to keep cool.
Did you achieve it?
No.
Oh dear. No. Never mind. Now, Melissa, I feel like we should talk about your job this time, because we were having a nice chat on the way up about the airplanes and aeroplanes. And you also shared a little story about maybe a Formula One connection that's been on your aeroplane.
So Jackie Stewart. He's very lovely. I brought him back from Monza last September.
Did you fly the plane on your own?
Did I? Of course I did. Yeah, he didn't look too scared. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to take my seat there, Sir Jackie. And he was like, I don't think so. And I was like, no. I was in the cabin with him, his lovely wife and two PAs, and they were absolutely fabulous. He's one of the loveliest people I've ever met.
Oh, he was quite quick as well, wasn't he, Steve?
I'm sure.
Now, obviously, lovely guy, but sandwich choice.
Really, really bizarre. I was like, I got the catering list through and it was just like, yeah, just one special request. It's a date and banana sandwich, one on brown and one on white bread. And I thought, who is this? I got that three before I actually got the passenger list three. And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's a Jackie's. But no, he didn't go for it. Instead, he had a little small can of Coke and six chocolate bars.
Six chocolate bars?
Yeah, six chocolate bars.
I suppose he's into it.
Crazy.
People as always. Fried Mars bars,
you
know.
He just kept going through them all. He was eating them all. Yeah, brilliant. Legend.
Six chocolate bars.
Whatever you want, Sir Jackie. That's all your...
Hey, Formula One legend helped out by a Formula One podcaster in terms of the NRF1 podcast. I think we can claim that, can't we?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll definitely claim that. Brilliant. Right, well, as usual on this podcast, we get stuck into the news. So first of all, I wanted to touch on these two under pressures. We've got Jolyon Palmer at Renault and Honda at McLaren. I guess one of them is, we've spoken about all year, haven't we, Steve? But Jolyon, a bit of a different tone this week. We've had Renault saying they're over-reliant on Nico Hülkenberg. Jolyon also saying maybe you've been distracted by Nico Hülkenberg's form in terms of him performing so badly. I don't really know what that means, to be honest, because you'd think he should be quite sort of self-absorbed in terms of what he's trying to do. This, to me, sounds a bit like an endgame.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, unfortunately, because they're generally, I mean... Previous seasons where a lot of drivers were in smaller private race teams, it would be a case of they'd just be chopped straight out and there'd be very little media coverage about it and that was it. And we all knew it was just basically down to who could bring in the money to the team, but this is a manufacturing team. So I suppose there's got to be some sort of, even if it's a fabrication of story, but he's had a succession of bad races. Nico Hülkenberg's outperformed him, but then he's a far more experienced driver. I don't know. I hope not, because there's only Lewis left, isn't there? Now JB's not here as British, and that's not really what we want to see.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it was one of the first things that came to my mind was, well, if Jolyon goes, that's drying things up, and you know, we'd have like three and four drivers, British drivers on the grid. We'd be getting really excited about that. I know no one else gives a shit, but we care about
No, definitely. I mean, he'd have Max Chilton. Sorry, I don't know what Peter Shilton is going around.
Peter Shilton? He's been on your aeroplane.
Yeah, probably. And also, obviously, Paul de Rester, who I'm a really big fan of. I follow Paul de Rester on Twitter, and I think he's really good. I mean, there is really good talent there, and I think everyone wants Julian to do really, really well. He's a good-looking poster boy to kind of go alongside Lewis. You know, he's a good role model. He wants people to obviously really get engaged with the sport and stuff, and it looked so promising, and to do not so good compared to like Nico Hülkenberg, he's not been great, but then it just goes to show how not great Julian Palmer's been, and that's a shame, so because there's so much potential.
It's interesting how long drivers get a chance at, really, isn't it? Because he had to wait a long time and almost force the issue just to get out of GP2, so he's had to really work for his chance, and ultimately, if he goes, that's it, isn't he? He won't be coming back.
It's a pretty cutthroat business now. It's a shame, really, because, I mean, there's lots of talented drivers we've seen come and go over the years, yeah. You know, British or not British, just because of the whole money thing. But now we've actually got someone in the manufacturing team, you'd thought there's a bit more of a hope of that sort of thing not happening, but it's a bit touch and go by the looks of it, if anything in the media is to go by.
I mean, Max Chilton's racing in IndyCar at the moment, isn't he? He's learning how to do the ovals, which, as we know, is really easy, because we know that from when we were checking in on Fernando Alonso. Will Stevens turned up, didn't he? And then he disappeared again. I'm not sure where he's running. But he'll be racing somewhere. We'd normally check, but we'll leave that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to know if any of you guys know where the next top British racing talent is coming from that we can get behind, because, you know, Lewis is getting twitchy fingers and soon he's going to want to release his album. We cannot rely on him. Keep racing.
The gold chains, man. It's there, isn't it? He's got the studio. He's such a lad.
He's such a lad. Such a lad. Now, Zac Brown is also, I guess you could say, well, he said it himself. He had to speak up about Honda and what has been pretty disgraceful performance so far this year, given this is the third year trying to do something remotely looking successful. I think McLaren would ditch them immediately if they could, but again, end game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm amazed, really, they've hung on this long. You know, considering McLaren's history, you would have thought, you know, a top team like that would have just cut their losses maybe last season or something like that. But I don't know what the contractual things are, whether there's money involved in it to get out of, or how long they've actually got with Honda in a current contract, who knows. But I think the end of this year will be the last, because they power Sauber next year anyway, so it's not as if they would disappear from the sport. So.
Well, I think that's what that move was about, really, wasn't it? Paving the way so that Honda could continue, and then I guess McLaren will end up tying back up with Mercedes, because that's better than what they've got now.
Yeah, definitely have to agree with that. There's only so much patience, like, the drivers are not going to have. I mean, Fernando Alonso is one of my absolute favourites. I'm sure, like, you know, kind of taking it away from the engines and everything, but how much patience is he going to have at the end of the day? I mean, he is such a talented driver that he needs the car, he needs the reliability. He can't have a do not start as opposed to a did not finish kind of thing. You know, you can't have that. He'll go and do something else, and everyone's like, well, it's almost become acceptable to do it, because would he do it if he was sitting in a Silver Arrow? No, of course he wouldn't. And that's the thing, but it's like, it's almost acceptable because pity McLaren. I mean, I still absolutely love McLaren, but yeah, they need to sort it out.
I mean, all of this will be about trying to keep Fernando happy for as long as possible. But again, TikTok, just like a watch engine. Bit of news today, I think it was, on the 2018 calendar. Yes, you're right, it's June, and we're getting news on the 2018 calendar. And it's actually a conscious decision as well that Chase Carrier said, we need to get this calendar sorted out much earlier than we used to. In two, right, I think this is brilliant. This is actual change for the better in Bernie's absence, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Second year on the trot, 2018 looks like it'll be where there isn't a clash with Le Mans, where Le Mans was this weekend, not on a Formula One weekend. You obviously get the impression that Formula One would rather not have these clashes, whereas Bernie, I think, was much more of the idea of, ha, we're Formula One, who gives a shit? We'll run this show. I think one of those attitudes is much more constructive than the other. I'll let you guess which one. But a couple of interesting things. Obviously, the French Grand Prix is set to return, and there's going to be a triple header. I don't know what that's going to mean for our podcast schedule, but basically it's going to be France, Austria and Silverstone to take place on consecutive weekends.
That is, I'm very excited about that, actually. I saw it and I was like, yeah! And, you know, I did like this emoji. The hands emoji.
Two hands up.
Yeah, the two hands up emoji. Yeah, really exciting. I think it's great. It's nice to have the French one back, of course, as well. But yeah, I think it's brilliant. I mean, it's mentally draining. I can see why Sir Jackie packed back 6 bars of chocolate on a flight, because they need all that. It's mentally and physically very draining. I mean, I know Baku's only 51 laps, which is probably one of the shorter ones, isn't it, out of what you've got going on.
It's quite a long, lap, is it?
Long lap.
It's very straight.
Yeah, it's very straight. But very exciting for those who love the sport like we do, and to kind of get people involved, engaged, and know it's going on, then yeah, there's more excuse to sit down and kind of really get stuck in.
21 races on next year's calendar, Steve.
21, so that's 20 now, or is it mm-hmm. just an extra one? So obviously that's the French Grand Prix. Is that the Paul Ricard
it
circuit?
Paul Ricard, yeah.
Thank God it's not a Mardi Gras.
No, the truth.
Vegas is going to come in.
There's still talk of one in London, isn't there? You know, I mean, the last I read about that, they were going to do a mock setup on a simulator,
really?
And actually then release it as a 3D virtual lap of what it would look like through London. So they must have some serious ideas for
that
this.
That is incredible. Well, if they run them, because when I first heard that, I was like, no, that would never work. But they do. You know, people run marathons and stuff for it, so why not?
Yeah, well, they've done the E-Prix in Formula E there as well, which is a little bit different because it's basically a go-kart, but, you know, we could always take that on a level. Interesting things from the 2018 calendar as it's proposed. Sochi moving to September, back-to-back with Japan, which seems quite sensible because they're literally sort of in the same place in the world. And Azerbaijan moving slightly earlier into April alongside Bahrain, which, again, a lot more sense in the calendar.
What about Canada? Is that still in the same place?
Yep.
We still got the American race. I don't know why they put them back to back with that.
I guess it's a tricky one in terms they would ideally you'd want Mexico, Austin, and Canada as a three-way.
But then again, is that saying that the team's basically it's like, guys, you're out on the road constantly. You don't get to go home. You can't see your families. No, they probably don't really. I was going to say, like,
A third of the year you'd be away from home if you're working in Formula One. Thankfully, we get to watch it all from Norfolk, so we're all right. We are all okay. Robert Kubica did his test. Quite melancholic quotes, really, saying it kind of showed him what he'd lost rather than maybe necessarily really enjoying his return. He put the test on himself with Renault to see what he could do. But I get the impression now that he's done that, he quite fancies a return. He did a load of laps. They tried to simulate an entire race weekend in 24 hours, which is probably harder than doing an actual race weekend anyway, over 3 days. And he did really well, Steve. It does kind of... Now, Renault have said, you know, we won't be having Robert in 2018, as far as we know, but...
Could replace Jolyn Palmer.
Just then
dawned on me.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd love him back. Would we love him back to see it? It's hard to think that we'd be seeing the same Robert Kubica back in racing, but still.
He was quite a good driver. You know, he had quite a lot of promise, you know. I mean, because in those days, Renault had a better car anyway, because that was before they then left the sport and then come back. But, I mean, I don't know whether his chance is gone now. I think there's quite a lot of years elapsed. I think he could still do it. But I don't know, it's a competitive sport and it's very cutthroat and there's not ever that many places available. I don't think he would really go into a lower team. I don't think he would really sort of be that desperate just to get a seat. I think he would be looking for more midfield upwards. But I don't know. I mean, he was a good driver. You know, I used to enjoy watching him, but I can't see it, if I'm honest. Like to, but I can't see it.
You'd almost want to see him in a couple of free practice sessions to see what he's got and how he'd then compare.
Definitely. It all just seems a little bit coincidental, doesn't it, with the Jolyon Palmer kind of crossover. But yeah, I loved him. He was a B-plus player, I'd say. He'd go in there, he'd do a good job. I mean, I wouldn't be against seeing him back again. I think they always get a little bit of itchy feet. But the thing is, it's so diverse now, isn't it, the how long drivers can go for and how early they can start. I mean, you've got little Max there. Who is just a tot and is you know, karting and doing everything before he's probably got even proper driving license. I mean, it's so diverse. I suppose, like, the mental capacity of whether or not they're still as reactive as what the youngsters are. But, yeah, I wouldn't be against it. Who knows?
I think it'd be brilliant to see him back. I really look forward to that. Just finally, Manisha Kaltenborn, obviously she is Sauber's team principal. She says, Formula One has become too technical. Steve, we've had this debate numerous occasions. She's brought it up, and I guess there's maybe an appetite here that can we make it less technical so it's better racing? I guess that's really what we're talking about here, isn't it?
How honest do you want me to be with this answer?
Go for
it. As honest as normal.
Yeah, it's true.
If you want to swear, Steve, you know I've got the bleep button.
I just see it, it's just totally ridiculous. I mean, for a team principal person to be saying that, you know, I mean, Formula One is meant to be the pinnacle of motorsport. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, do you just want it to become like, I don't know, Formula One 50 years ago and prehistoric racing? You know, it's just ridiculous. It's meant to be where technology starts and then it works its way down, not the other way around.
But does there have to be a... They could just create robot cars that are engineered to and then no one drives anything. I mean, there has to be some stopping it somewhere, doesn't there, Steve?
There is decent arguments on both sides of the fence. I will agree with that, but I'm quite happy to just see it keep modernising and keep being the top end. Otherwise, you've got to remove the one, or, you know, if it's not going to be. Yeah, that's the thing of it. I mean, I agree. I mean, if you're going to let something come in and everyone agrees that that's a little bit too much of a driver aid, then let them have it for a year, take it away. But at least it's been in the sport, and then that can go into another sport, and you can say, well, that started in Formula 1, that was a Formula 1 innovation, and then it's gone down. That's fine, you know, because then you're kind of pleasing both sides of the fence, as there is fair arguments. But that comment's ridiculous still.
I don't really know what context she means it in. I'm going to put my hands up and say, I've not read the article. But is she saying it's becoming too technical, as in it's stopping people from enjoying the sport and probably wanting to look at it because it's so, like, oh, so boring, it's all about strategy, and I don't really understand. Do you know what I mean?
Who's that an impression of, Melissa?
It's just a Norfolk person.
It's just a Norfolk person. Oh, no, here's what she says. Well, there's a word missing there in the quote. Yeah, we have in some ways... become far too technical that even people within the sport do not fully understand it. Do we really need that? No, we are not here in a technical world. Technical excellence is part of F1, but it needs to be balanced out with other interests as well.
Well, I want the technology to grow, and as Steve just said, it's Formula One. We want number one being the best. You know, we can make a plane stay up and fly in the sky and do all things like that. Do you know what? So you want it to be the best it can possibly be and push things to the limit. If she's saying it's becoming too technical, as in the jargon's too technical, it needs to be more layman's, people need to understand, it'll open it up to the masses to kind of get more footfall and people really getting excited and then doing what Bernie did, clash everything because everyone's going to be watching Formula One. Or does she mean, no, we need to go back to the Flintstones time where they're actually running around and making the car go around with their feet? What does she mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a vague article on that. I mean, it depends on how you want to interpret it. I've interpreted it one way, Melissa interpreted it another, so, you
also
know.
Also as well, I don't mean to cringe, and it's really awful because I know that I'm a woman sitting here, but it's... Oh. I don't mean...
Sexism alert.
No, I don't mean it to go that way because, you know, I'll call a... I don't mean it in a bad way, but isn't it just make it that much worse that it's come out from a woman, like... She said it. I know that sounds really cringy to say. I feel awful saying that, but she's not done us any favours, has she?
There we go. Love it. Forthright opinions from Melissa and Steve.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry for an opinion. We will never be sorry for an opinion on this podcast, ever. Right, that's that bit of the news. Time to plug that our Canada Review pod is out there for you to catch up with. I tell you what, it's brilliant. Give it a listen. You can listen to that on your podcast player of choice. And to subscribe, all you need to do is visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link you need to the player you choose to listen to. The website as well is getting a bit of TLC. I'm trying to sort that out. I'm short of WordPress experts at the moment, but hopefully I'll get that sorted out in a bit. It's still perfectly functional. So get yourself over to nrf1.uk for all the fun and games over on our website.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Right, tweets and social now. As always, get your submissions in. I do like to plug this. If you want to get your voice heard on the NRF1 podcast, like me, Steve, Melissa, and the rest of the crew, you can do that by sending us your audio. All you need to do to send us your rants, predictions, questions, whatever, just visit nrf1.uk, click on the red button, or you can simply record an audio file on your phone and send it by email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Hell, you can even just send us an email with words, because
yes,
we can all read. So that's good too. Right, I'm delighted to say we've got a bit of a NRF1 podcast first here because we're actually using Skype. Steve, how excited are you about this?
This is pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm nodding with excitement.
Everyone's nodding in it in excitement. Now, those who listened to our Canada Review podcast, which I think was episode E173 off the top of my head, will have known that Perry Hamilton came up with this great idea that, you know, things would be so easily sorted in terms of safety car and yellow flags and all this sort of things if drivers had an audio sound that they could use rather than just their sights and visual cues. And I thought, well, I've heard this. And we mentioned it. And then good old Frank Linker, who is co-host of the Indie Sports Car podcast, got back in touch with me, having we'd spoken a while ago, and said, I'll fill you guys in and then we can properly address the subject. So I'm delighted to say, for the first time on the NRF1 podcast, we've got Frank and we're using Skype. Amazing stuff. Good evening, Frank. Or I should say good afternoon. Where are you?
How are you? All right. How's everybody? Me? I'm in the rainy northeast right now.
You have to northeast of America. This is, as well, isn't it, of the USA.
Well, I don't want to use the played out cliche across the pond, but yep, across the pond, the northeast in the States, raining like anything. Just had to run outside and roll up my windows because now the inside of my truck is wet.
Wow. And we're baking in 32 degree heat in Norfolk, like we've never known before. Well, we have known it before, but hasn't been like this for a year or two, so we're literally baking away here. But what about this, we've got someone from not in Norfolk on the podcast. It's amazing. And my mind is blown. Frank, talk to us about it then. Perry mentioned it as an idea that I think he thought he'd had initially. I mentioned it as something I thought you'd mentioned to me in the past. What exactly is this concept of audibly warning drivers, and does it actually work?
Its official name, if anybody wants to look it up, it's the Audible Flagging System. We have a Facebook fan page for it, so you can find out a lot more information about it. It's at Audible Flagging. What it is we have worked together with the iCar system, the creator of the iCar system. What that is the two yellow blinking dots on the dashboard of every car, pretty much in every series around the world. When there's a full course yellow, that blinks, and everybody's supposed to stop racing. But we all know they don't. And it, most of all, the notification is all visual, whether it be a virtual safety car sign or flagging or what have you. So what our system does is, it utilizes the one ear out of the two that, say a formula driver doesn't use, or say sports car drivers. Our toner is inside the cockpit. It's very loud because it's very loud in there. And basically it is triggered exactly when the iCar system is triggered. So it's still controlled by race control. It's not a new form of notification. It doesn't take over any form of notification. What it does is it's just an extra component to all course yellow notification. Instead of it being all visual, this gives you a audio way of notification. So what happens is the iCar system is engaged. Our notification system will beep for a period of 4 seconds. For formula drivers, don't worry, it's not going to scare the heck out of you when it happens, because there is a volume to it, and it's all it's all user based. You can set it to the volume that best suits you. And it also vibrates for those who might be hearing impaired. We have a lot of thought of that as well. And it basically goes off to all the drivers, all the pit crew, all the corner workers, pretty much everybody on the track. And that way, everybody on the track knows the exact second a four-course yellow is initiated.
So that's amazing. And I guess, given we work in an audio medium at the moment, we know how powerful audio can be, especially when you consider all the other things that a driver is having to concentrate on at that very moment.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, I think somebody once said the box that, say, IndyCar drivers are working at, like the Indianapolis 500 when they're racing, is a box as small as about 5 feet in front of them to about 15 feet and maybe about 4 feet wide. So that doesn't give a whole lot of range to seeing anything else around that,
And the thing I did remember, Frank, was that this whole thing came from actually the most dangerous accidents in motor racing are the secondary impacts, when there has been an accident and when something does go wrong, when something else is going on somewhere else in the track. And we've all had those incidents and remember those when they've happened. And they can be the worst accidents.
They always seem to be. The number is, since 2000, 88% of all on-track injuries have happened during secondary incidents.
which is phenomenal. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, we're trying to get that down into the single digits, and we're hoping that this system at least gets it down into the single digits.
Brilliant stuff, Frank. So where's it being used at the moment, and what are your hopes for it? I mean, do you seriously believe, I'm sure you do, that this is the sort of thing that can end up in NASCAR, in IndyCar, and of course in Formula One and World Endurance Championships?
We really hope so. Right now, it's being implemented in the first series that's implemented it into its entire series is the Pirelli World Challenge. It's basically a sports car series over here that they do a lot of traveling around with the IndyCar series. Normally, they share events, but our hopes are to be basically because the system is so well integrated into the iCar system, and the iCar system is in pretty much every race car in the world right now, that it's going to be very easy to implement the system into any race car that exists already. And that's kind of our hopes, to make it as easy as possible to be used.
Absolutely. Brilliant stuff, Frank. Have you guys got any questions or anything you want to ask? Steve?
Yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we have, when they first brought in DRS in Formula One, didn't they have such a system where you got bleeps in the driver's earpiece to indicate when you, I think, cross into the zone where you can then use your DRS so they didn't have to look at the line? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if Frank knows of that as well.
Well, it's interesting in a way, if they do that, Frank, or they could do that, why they would opt to do it with DRS and why they wouldn't opt to be doing this in a matter of safety as a primary thought.
It is a matter of safety in the primary thought, to where the way we're looking at it is, as soon as a full course yellow is initiated by race control, that's when the iCar system will be initiated, and that's in every car. So what our system is a plug and play to that. And so when the iCar system goes off, our audible safety, or the audible flagging system, will be initiated as well. And that way, say there's 25, 27 cars on the grid that day in that series, all 25 to 27 drivers are notified of a four course yellow at the exact same time. And therefore, all positions are frozen at the exact same time. So there's no trying to, trying to pass each other, trying to gain a spot here and there.
Yeah, which is always, it's always a very big temptation, isn't it? Why do you think they haven't done anything like this yet or before?
To be candid, why they haven't done it yet, car manufacturers love making profits off of replacement parts, right? I mean, it's a business. It's part of their profit margin at the end of the year. And crashes kind of create new parts to be made and bought. And this system kind of really goes against that profit margin. So, like everything else in the world, I think it all comes down to making money.
Well, I suppose that's what we all have to deal with, really, isn't it? But let's certainly hope that in terms of the safety of all these sports, if there's something that takes away it's not even a danger edge. This is just pure safety. If there's a crash that needs to be dealt with safely for the marshals around, the vehicles trying to go about their work, for any emergency services, for the crane drivers, for anyone, and then the drivers themselves, because I think we're fully aware of exactly what this means in terms of what happened to Jules Bianchi in Suzuka. And I think that's primarily one, I think that may even have been, Frank, when you first spoke to me about this, was around what happened with Jules. And that was a secondary incident related crash as well.
Just like Justin Wilson as well, secondary incident about 13 seconds later after the full course yellow. Yep. So that was my main reason of getting involved with the inventor of the system. His name's Dave Skeen, a very, very intelligent man. And that's why Missy and I, Missy's my co-host of the Indy Sports Car Podcast, we got in touch with him and have helped him along trying to get this into every racing series out there, because it just makes too much sense. It makes too much sense to, incorporate audio or audio notification along with visual notification. So, because apparently the 88% of the injuries as it's happening, and we're using visual notification as much as we can right now, it's just not working.
Frank, thank you so much for your time. A fascinating conversation. You're doing brilliant work, and I hope that the people who need to listen to that, so that we can affect the safety in all motorsport properly, so that it gives us what we want, but also delivers the kind of safe environment for people to operate in as well. Really appreciate your time, Frank. If people want to go and listen to you, it is, as I said, the Indy Sports Car Podcast. Where's the best way for them to find you?
iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher app, RedDragonsRadio.com, and pretty much any other podcatcher app that you like to listen to.
That's brilliantly done. Frank, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wasn't that good? Brilliant stuff from Frank. I'm so glad we got him on to speak about that. And I think he's really wanted to speak about that with us as well. And I think he said it, a light bulb moment when he first heard of it. And you do kind of think, well, yeah, why wouldn't you do it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's quite, it's almost obvious really, actually, isn't it? Yeah. Listening to that and sort of thinking, well, considering our previous sort of conversations about Pinnacle of Motorsport and Formula One, yeah, you would have thought that they would have been right on something like that. But be interesting to know the falls and ins and outs of that. But one of the things that I was sort of thinking of that didn't really get a chance to ask is, I wonder, because how obviously we have like sort of most tracks sort of sector 1, 2, 3, and obviously you get a yellow flag in sector 2. I wonder how that system would work with that, because obviously you can go as quickly as you like in 1 or 2. If you've got, you know, a single or double, you then have to go slower, or at least show that you've gone slower.
Yeah.
So I wonder how it would sort of work.
I think you could probably just play a series of beeps while you're in that sector, yeah. I guess. If it depends how, I mean, it sounds to me like they've got the technology, and yeah, that's sure. The issue. And likewise, talking about it being the pinnacle of the motorsport in terms of technology, Formula One, it shouldn't need other formula below them to do it, to test it out Formula One. Yeah. It should be Formula One setting the example here so that it can then filter down. Brilliant stuff, and a debate that is right to be had, I think, absolutely. I've got here, any other business? Has anyone got any other business?
No.
That'll do for me. I have, in terms of social media plugs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're on all three, and you can follow us on with the handle @TheNRF1, or visit fb.me/TheNRF1 if you like a bit of Facebook. YouTube is nrf1.uk/NRF1Tube. And as I've said before, you can email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We do love reading those. But for now, let's say goodbye to our guests, to Melissa.
Bye.
And to Steve.
Bye.
Well done, Steve. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Baku takes our focus next. The preview is on its way. Until then, goodbye.